for today. Thanks for coming on time. And our first talk today will be by Christian Ambach and Matthias Dietz from IBM about clustered Samba performance analysis and improvements. Welcome.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here that soon in such a large amount. Okay, so just a few words about ourselves. So you already know our names. We are working for IBM Research and Development in Mainz here in Germany. We have a long tradition of using Samba in our products. So we started with our OESV offering in 2003, and after that came the SOFS offering in 2006. I think you those of you who have visited multiple Samba XPs in the past have seen some presentations about at least SOFS. And now our newest product is, since 2008, is IBM SONAS. So that's our productized version of Samba, CTDB, and others. Our components, it's supposed to be a very modular, high-performance storage for enterprises which have special needs, like, okay, we want to store petabytes of data and we need very fast access to the data. So what we will talk today is, some customer situations we were involved in the past 2 years, in which we identified several bottlenecks in Samba and CTDB, and what we will also tell you is what were the actions which we derived from these to fix these bottlenecks, and what is the current status of these fixes. So some of them have already been done, some of them are still in the works. Okay, let's start with the first customer. That's a visual effects company located in AP. That's a typical Sonas customer. So all of these movie companies, we have lots of data which we want to store. We need very fast access to the data. And we are using a rendering farm that is run by some software which comes from Pixar. You might know this company. And what their application does is we have a very large directory structure. You can see that on the right. So we have about 370,000 files in 50,000 folders. And the application continuously scans with the directory structure to figure out if all the input files for the next rendering phase are present or not. So the customer previously used an old AX box with some SIF server on it. I'm not sure if it was Fast Connect or Samba. And the application, the scan of this application took about 2 minutes. So we sold them our new Sonar system, and we came back and said, hey, it now takes 5 minutes. You're supposed to scale. So we have now two nodes instead of one node, and it takes double the time, but it's not the scaling factor which we expected from you. So what we did, as we did not have access to this rendering software in our lab, what we figured out with the customer as to be a good emulation of that workload is just use Windows Explorer and then let Explorer count all the files and directories in that directory structure. That one took 6 minutes on the old machine, and on Sonas it took 15 minutes. Yeah. So when this workload is running, what is happening on the wire is some kind of simple. Windows sends for each directory, sends a find first request, so to get all the list of all the files which and directories, which are in the current directory, and when it descends into each additional subdirectory and does the same thing again. It's just a typical recursive algorithm. Important here is that Windows does a second query path info for each directory that is in a directory. So it gets all the information that it needs for the files from the find first answer, but for the directories it does an additional query path info. So the first thing we found when we looked into into what Samba is doing here was that you saw these requests here that the find first pattern is always with a star at the end. And Samba just forwards the star into the file system and does some LSTAT calls. So star is not an invalid file in the SIFS protocol. So why do we at all stat this name star? And what you can see is that our file system was not really good in handling these requests. So it seems like our file system, each time you come into a directory it hasn't opened before, it doesn't have in the cache, and when you request the stat information for a file which does not exist, and obviously star cannot exist because it's an invalid file name for the SIFS protocol, it took a long time to give us the stat information. You can see that in the first two lines of this strace output. So sometimes it took about up to 400 milliseconds to figure out that the file doesn't exist. Yes, it cannot exist. Yeah, right? And for files which do exist, the answer times of our file system were much better. You can see that in the last two lines. So what we did as some kind of test is I just hacked a filter into Samba that just ignored anything, any stat request to all paths which ended with slash star and just answer them with Samba directly with a no, and this does not exist. So we do not ask the file system anymore if such a file exists or not. And what we also did is internally we opened a bug against our file system so that we should fix these long response times. So the second thing we found out is that the locking TDB is very busy in such a workload. So what Samba has to do for all of these find first two and query path info requests, it has to check for all of the files which it wants to return if the delete on close flag is set. So this is just a record in the locking TDB. The interesting thing here is that we have these two requests. So we do not have the find first two. We also have this query path info. So we have to go to the locking TDB twice for all of the directories which are in there. And we identified two issues. First thing was Samba needed to go to CTDB twice to fetch the record. So it was not like CTDB was supposed to work, like, okay, the node fetches the record to the local TDB and the second request is then just served out of a local TDB. But instead we saw that Samba had to query CTDB twice to fetch the record to the local TDB. And another issue we saw is that these records were not well distributed in the local TDB and across the cluster. So for some testing, we found a parameter that's not documented in Samba, that's SMBD search share mode false or so, and I added another one for the path infos, so that Samba would actually violate the CIFS protocol and do not check for the delete on close flag anymore. And this gave a dramatic speed up. And so it showed to us that this locking TDB usage is one of the major bottlenecks. So we look, yeah? This was CIFS. I have actually later in the presentation I have a comparison between SIFS and SMB2 with this workload. So SMB2 is faster than SIFS.
Well, just for the
directory
enumeration, it would be the
message
already.
Okay. I've lost the trail.
Large MTU support, we can post up to a megabyte buffer. And so first, my next, this my first, and you're done.
Yeah.
The lock is challenged.
Yeah. So to repeat the comment that, some summary of a comment is that in SMB2 there are larger MTUs available, so it's less shitty on the find first to requests and responses. We do not have, you will see in less network round trips for such a case, right? Okay, good. So what we, Volker, you also wanted something to say or? Okay. So what you also, so we looked into this problem that Samba goes to CTDB twice. Somehow. And when we found out that in this workload, it's typical somehow that a number of these records actually exists because nobody has set a delete on close on any of these files. But what CTDB did in this case is it implicitly creates a new empty record because it didn't exist anymore, but it made the L master became the D master for that, not the node which wanted to fetch the record. So we had a local copy now of this empty record in the local TDB, but we were not the D master. So it was not authoritative for us, and we had to, for this query path info, we had to go to CTDB again and ask for the same empty record again. So this just adds some more internal network round trips between the CTDB demons. And one fix which Ronnie now did is to fix this behavior so that if a node now fetches a record which does not exist, the node itself will become the D master for that. So for the second request for the query path info, we will have the empty record in the local TDB, and Samba can just find that and does not have to talk to CTDB anymore. We have a more complete solution in mind, and that is called the CTDB read-only locks. So this was just a small workaround we now did, but for this workload and other workloads, we need something better in CTDB. So we are currently in design discussions with Ronnie. And our working title for that is CTDB read-only copies. So it's some kind of a caching protocol. So one node can, or multiple nodes can have a read-only copy of a record. That's what Samba mostly does with these records. It just checks the records in locking TDB. It checks for conflicting byte-range locks in BR lock TDB. But updates to these records are not that popular. And so you see more reads than writes to that. And this is why we want to add some functionality to CTDB so that multiple nodes can fetch the read-only copy of a record and keep that until the main record gets updated or migrated. And in that case, it also resolves this problem as the node would on the first request get this read-only copy and then the second request just read out the information from the read-only copy. So the other issue I mentioned is that we saw that the records were unevenly distributed across the hash buckets in the local TDB. And what we figure out is that the key for these locking records is based on the idont numbers in the file system. And the hash function that is currently used or that was used in TDB, the old TDB hash function, it does a very bad job in distributing these inode numbers or these keys across the hash buckets. So when you had a look into such a TDB, you saw, I think about only 50% of the hash buckets were filled and the others were just empty. And the same thing applied also to the LMaster assignments in CTDB, because CTDB used the same hash functionality to determine the LMaster for a record. So we saw that half of the nodes were LMasters and the other ones were just idle, doing nothing. So one of the things that was changed here is in CTDB and in TDB that Rusty has replaced the old TDB hash with a new Jenkins hash. And that one is providing a much better distribution of records in the local TDB and also across the CTDB nodes. I think it's based on GDBM hash. So it was taken out of GDBM and our database, just reused. But with all of these large scale tests now, we see, or we saw that this hash algorithm is not the best on earth. Let's call it that way. So here's the slide which I promised earlier. So this shows the progress after 1 minute of scanning. On the left side you see via sieves, and on the right side you see via SMB2. I just did this as an experiment, as we do not support SMB2 in our product yet, as we need to switch to Samba 3.6 to do this. So this was on another cluster with some preliminary packages, but you can see that SMB2 is faster in scanning. I also wanted to add some numbers here, because my initial impression was that SMB2 is less chatty than SIFS, but it didn't prove to be right. So with SIFS, one of these runs takes about 280,000 packets on the network, and with SMB2 I saw 400,000 packets for such a run. But nevertheless, SMB2 was faster. Yeah, I know that this is most probably due to missing large MTU and stuff, yeah. I didn't change any settings on the Windows client. Yeah, it's still faster even if it sends more packets. So. Yeah, the good thing in SMB2 is that it avoids this second query path info request. So it just opens each of these directories, does a find, what's the SMB2 equivalent of find first to, and then gets all of the information and then goes down to the next directory instead of doing this second information about one of the subdirectories, which it could have taken just out from the find first to also. So it's asking for that directory information with the same info level. Whatever. Okay, so that was our customer number one. And I will now pass over to Matthias, who will present the next customer.
Test. Okay. So, Volker has a question.
Christian, what was the final result for this 50-minute?
To repeat the question, Volker wanted to know what the final result is. So I have seen on a much larger system when we went down to 30 seconds now for the scan. But that's not what the customer uses. It was a much larger system with more hard drives. But even on that system, I think we started with 8 minutes, and now with all of these improvements in place, we were down to 2 minutes, to 30 seconds. But don't quote me on that. This is why I didn't put in all the slides.
Okay. I'm going to present a second customer, which was a movie rendering company located in India. And they used Maya rendering software for modeling of the 3D models and also for doing the rendering and so on. Many 3D modelers, so users, used a Maya project file, which was stored on our cluster at the same time for reading. So this central project file contained links to textures and RIP files and, basically explains the whole scene of a rendering movie. And this Maya project file was also loaded at the beginning of the rendering process. And the customer complained about a slow startup of the rendering application. Here it took sometimes up to 10, 15 minutes to load this Maya project file, and they even saw some timeouts while starting up this rendering application because it just took too long. So when looking into this issue more deeply, we found out that when you access the same file across multiple cluster nodes with CTDB, then Samba will need to check for the byte range lock TDB if there is a record inside. And for doing this check, it needs to ask the D master in CTDB, And this leads to demaster migrations all the time if you do this over different nodes. I'm going to show this in more detail on the next slide. Here you see a good example what happened. So let's say the node on the left was a demaster, and now you are going to read the same file on the node on the right. Then the node on the right will trigger a req call, CTB req call, to the L master, and the L master is forwarding this req call to the current demaster. The demaster is replying with a req demaster call, which tells the L master to move the demaster from the left node to the right node, and the L master then will push the record to the right node, and the right node is the new demaster then. That's fine, but for the next request, the same happens in the other direction. So basically, we end up with some kind of ping pong between multiple nodes, which is really bad in regards to performance. So one thing Christian mentioned, that we did some changes in regards to the demaster behavior for solving this first customer issue. And what we saw is that these changes made the things even worse, because in the previous CTB version, this demaster migration only happened for five sequential fetch requests. So after, you know, if just one request happened, then the original demaster did not move, but just the record were forwarded to the requesting node. But now with this new CTB version, the demaster is moved immediately, even if just one fetch happens. And this makes this even worse. So the workaround for this problem for the customer was to access this single Maya project file across one single node. So we added a DNS name to one particular IP address of the cluster and used this only for accessing this Maya file. And all texture and RIP files and everything else which is needed for the rendering process could still be served across all nodes. Just this Maya file was a problem. The final solution will be the implementation of the read-only logs in CTB, which Christian already explained. Another customer here in Germany, in the industrial sector, who does some has some research departments around the world, they had a large Active Directory and with many users and many groups. And the important thing, the users were also members of many groups. So the customer ran into timeout issues during connection. And the important thing here was the timeouts only happened during the very first connection of a new user. So once a user has been successfully accessed to Zona's system, then he did not see any problems anymore. So after looking into that, we found out that the ID mapping took too long. So we use ID map TDB2 in Zona's, and if many users access the Zona system at the same time, then you need to map many IDs at the same time. Or if a user accesses the Zona system, which is in many groups, then you need to map all groups which a user is member of in a short time. So, let's show this here. So we did a measurement of the ID mapping performance with TDB2, and we found out that ID mapping performance is really bad, because we were able to map around 200 IDs per minute, cluster-wide. So it doesn't matter how many nodes you add, it even gets a bit worse. So as you see here in the slide, if you compare three with four nodes, and you see for four node, it took a bit longer than for three node. For one node, it was a bit faster, and this one node cache means if the IDs have already been allocated and just does a lookup from the ID map TDB. So, So as I said, what we do is we store the IDs in a persistent TDB, and we use CTB transactions to ensure the integrity. And here is it was, let's say, not optimal because to get a new ID, it first has to read the high watermark and increase the high watermark value in the TDB, and after that, write the actual ID mapping to the TDB, which were split it into two transactions. So we decided to, or we made the change to improve the ID mapping performance by putting both things into one transaction. And this is already in Samba 347. And the second problem with many groups, members of groups, we enhanced Samba to not do ID map request for each group after another, but instead doing all groups in one transaction. And this improved the performance even more. Another thing, and I think Christian will show a slide later, is why do we do ID mapping with ID map TDB 2 at all? I think one main reason is that ID map RIT is much overhead to configure, especially if you have many domains with many trusts and so on. And our customer usually have many trusted domains in a large forest. And here, Christian implemented the ID map auto RIT, and he will show some slides later. So, and here we have some comparison of the improvements. In blue, you see the slow ID map performance, and in orange, you see the improvements we did with Samba 347, and in yellow, you see the improvements with Samba 3.6. And
make a remark here?
Yeah.
Of course, the 3.4 version does not have the fixes in the vanilla code. These are basically the fixes that I talked about yesterday. And,
okay.
These are from the clusters extending branch 3.4 CTP. I've backported them in the branch, but they are in the vanilla 3.6.
Okay. And the important thing to know, Michael Adam did most of the work, and so.
Okay, I'll just repeat Michael's comments before we go into the next slide. Is that 3.4.7 does not mean vanilla 3.4.7 here. It's 3.4.7 CTDB branch, which you can find in Michael's repository. Yeah, as Matthias already said, everybody has this tradition of using the TDB or TDB2 backends in typical Samba setups. But this ID mapping has some drawbacks or some bad things. So at first, it's very undeterministic or non-deterministic. The first user which comes in gets the first available number. The second one comes in, gets another number. The same applies to groups. So there's no way to figure out who or which UID will be used for a particular user in AD until that user connects to a system. And this also makes it difficult to replicate these mappings to a second system, for example. So if you are mirroring your data to a second system, you need to have the same mappings in place to make this really work. And it's very important that you never lose this database which stores the mappings. So, Trish, you remember that you spent a whole weekend for one customer which had a messed up database. So I don't think we want to see this again. So when talking to Volker about that, Volker and I had the idea, okay, we have this RIT backend which is quite deterministic because it just uses the local part of it, user's SID, but you have to configure all of the trusted domains by yourself. And TDB2 is better in that regard. So why not just combine these two approaches? So make an IDMAP backend that is applying the RIT algorithm, but automatically assigns ranges to be used for the domains. Yeah. So I coded that up, sent it to Samba Technical a while ago. It was accepted. It's available in upstream. Go and use it. Yeah, I also have written a man page. It's very easy to configure. It just has one optional parameter. So ideally, you do not have to configure anything at all. Volker?
I mean, there is also the hash backend, but that has a very high chart
of conditions. It's reasonable to use that. Yes, right. So to repeat Volker's comment is, we looked into IDMAP hash before, and that one hashes actually the domain part of a SIT, but if you have many domains, there is some kind of probability that you will see conflicting hashes. So it's like this birthday problem. So you have 365 weeks days in the year, but if you, I guess there are two guys here in the room which have birthday on the same date. Although we do not have 365 guys, right? So all of this hashing, it's... Yeah, it might see conflicts. So, with a new IDMAP autorit, it just, the only non-deterministic factor in it is, which ranges it assigns to domains. So if a user comes in from a yet, not yet defined domain, it will choose the first range, and after for the next domain from which user comes in, it will pick the next range. But in these ranges just apply the deterministic RIT algorithm. So what you can also do is, and I'm still planning to provide a tool for that, is to derive a RIT-based configuration out of AutoRIT, of the AutoRIT database. So that you, if you want to replicate your data to a second cluster, you can just call a command and it will give you the snippets which you have to put into your smb.conf on the second side. You mean SFU? So reading, yeah, okay. Not all the customers do have SFU. So we have some customers which are using SFU, and in these cases we are also using the IDMAP AD backend to read out these values from AD. But this is not the common case for customers. So especially pure Windows shops, we have even no clue what SFU is. We never dealt with Unix. And we still need something that is more reliable and deterministic than the original IDMAP TDB backend. So if you ask me, I would vote AutoRIT to be the default backend in Samba. Jeremy, was that a confirmation? Okay, Falcon? Yes. So to repeat Volker's comment is that also the main performance gain of this module is that we only need one write transaction into the TDB when a new trusted domain comes in, and not each time we need to map a new user. All right. So I pass on to Matthias again.
Okay. We also identified another issue. So in a cluster environment, it's important to sync all metadata operations directly to the disk when you do them, because if you do things like mkd or unlink or so, and a cluster failover happens afterwards, this data would be lost if it's not synced to disk, and this can lead to very strange results. So in Zonas, we use the SyncOps module. We have a SyncOps, which does an fsync on the parent directory after each metadata operation. And here, Trich and Ronnie did some performance tests, I think, 1 year ago, I think around 1 year ago, And as you see in the slide, they found out that with SyncOps, you have a decrease of 50% of the performance compared to without SyncOps. We thought about how can we improve this. So what Rich and Ronnie found out is that the S-trace showed that most cost is in F-sync, which is clear. And if you look in the S-trace, you see really mkdir, open parent directory, F-sync, close. And this for every metadata operation. So, this means we have to improve it somehow. So what we did is we implemented some new internal GPFS parameter, which makes sure that all metadata operations are synced automatically without the need for doing manual fsyncs in Zamba. So GPFS will automatically commit all the metadata operations if this option is enabled, and this is more effective than in Zamba, because in Zamba you explicitly have to open the parent directory, you explicitly have to do an fsync, and explicitly have to close it again, which takes more time than if you do it in the underlying file system, which does not need to open the stuff and just need to make sure that the right blocks are flushed out to the disks. So the SyncOps module in Sonas is only be used for data sync. Here we do a sync on close, that all data is synced, but for all metadata operations, the sync is done by GPFS itself. I don't have any performance numbers right now, but preliminary testing showed that we reach around 90% of the performance compared to a Zamba without SyncOps. So it's quite better than the performance before.
What is the parameter?
Sorry?
What is the parameter?
So this is an internal parameter which is, I think, not officially supported in the field. So it's only used inside the Sonar system. So it's one of the GPFS options which, are only used internally, right?
So if you are able to find it, you can use it, but there's no support for it. I'm sorry.
No, it's easy to find. So if you have a recent GPFS installation, then just look into the option and you will find it. So it's easy.
You can post the name of the option to the same technical list or something.
It has Samba in the name, so.
Yeah, one tip, it has Samba in the name, so. It's easy to find. I think it's the only option with Samba in the name. So.
I think so. No, I think we have two of them.
But that's not one of those only available programs called SMBD?
Yes, this only applies again to a process which is named SMBD.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the final slide, is just some kind of a summary now, which of these things have already been done, and in which versions are they available. So this wildcard stats thingy in our file system, it's fixed, and we should now not take 400 milliseconds to figure out where the file doesn't exist anymore. I also looked into the latest Zamba 3.6 code, and I saw that Jeremy was also already working on filtering out such requests directly in Zamba. So we do not. Metz pointed me to some change set of view. Okay. It doesn't work. So I still see stat calls with stars at the end. Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be quite easy to do
do a simple test to see if there's any stars in the path and fail at that point. It's just an extra string on there before we do the spell. So, I mean, raise the book on it and raise it with high priority now, because I can get it in 3.6.0 if you do that.
Okay.
So do it this afternoon.
Yeah, so to repeat Jeremy's comment is that these stat calls are necessary to figure out if it's, so the very first thing someone does is to figure out if the path coming in is ending, does exist, and if this happens, then someone doesn't need to do any conversions or anything else. So, but we can debate if we can add some extra checks here if the path ends with a star. And yeah, let's see if we can get this into Samba 3.6 somehow. So this is still in the works. This CTDB and local TDB record distribution thing has been solved. It's in CTDB 1.2. Dot 8, and it also made its way somewhere in a Samba release. At least 3.6 should have it. The demaster change for the empty records, it's also in a CDB version, later one, it's 1.2.14. The read-only locks, as I said, we are still in discussion how we exactly want to implement them, so maybe in some CDB 1.3 release or whatever, we will see when we are finished. The increased ID map performance, all of these improvements that Michael did, so the best version for that is Samba 3.6 because it contains all of the patches. And for this metadata synchronization, you need at least GPFS 3.3 and also Samba 3.6 to have the new options to VFS syncops. So, that was about it. Any questions left?
So, with this being passing some notes around briefly during this talk and having some discussions with the Samba team, and the result is that we'd like to invite you to join the Samba team, Christian, as a team member. And so, unfortunately, we assuming you accept.
Sure.
Yes. Good. Congratulations. unfortunately. We normally give a T-shirt. Unfortunately, I don't have a Samba team T-shirt here with me handy, but I have a Samba team sticker. So a T-shirt will be coming later. But congratulations. Yes.
Okay, thanks. So I haven't expected that one to happen. But it's a pleasure to join your team. Okay. That wasn't a question, but nevertheless, something. Okay. Okay. Yes, I will. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Any more questions?
This is a different sort of question. So, pre-filling, one of the sort of obvious things to do to reduce the cost of the TDB2 allocations, etc., is to have a daemon which periodically asks for the full list of users and groups and pre-fills the allocation table.
Yeah.
Have you tried that at all? Whether that's worthwhile or what issues that might have?
Yeah, we wrote a script to do a pre-fill, so we did not implement a daemon, but just a simple script which, yeah, use WB info minus U to read out, you know, all users and create an ID map for that.
Yeah.
So it worked, but it still took a long time to pre-fill the database.
Did it do it as one transaction, or did it do it as multiple transactions?
As multiple transactions, because we did not do any, you know, code change in Samba. We just used WB info, which uses multiple transactions.
If it batched it up in a few hundred users at a time per transaction, then it might be that that pre-fill script would actually run fairly quickly.
Sure, yeah. But we did not do that.
Sure.
Okay.
But then listing millions of users is better than
anybody. Sure, it just depends how often you would want.
So the only solution is ID map alter it.
Yeah. So one problem with pre-filling is also you don't know how many users are really going to access your system, because in most cases just a part of the company is going to access your system, and then you would fill the pre-fill the ID map with 1 million users, even if just 10,000 users would use the system, right? Okay.
Thank you very much. I did ask for another microphone, but it didn't come here on time, so we might our next Our next speech here in track two is by Jens-Peter Ackelbein and Ingo Mainz from IBM, and they will be talking about using Zamba in enterprise products. We will need a few moments for building up here.
Auch zu zweit? Wir machen das auch zu zweit, ja.